Good day and welcome to Health on the Hill. I'm Jackie Judd. President Obama is reelected and we again have a divided Congress. What does that mean for the Affordable Care Act? And what did we learn about how voters view the reform law? Here to decipher the meaning of the election are Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and journalist Rich Cohen. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Affordable Care Act, the reform law, obviously will continue to be the law of the land. But that's not the end of the story. Mary Agnes, what do you think Republicans will look for? What might the strategy be to continue to pick at the law?
As we know, in the current Congress, they voted over 30 times to repeal either the entire law or pieces of that. I don't think you'll see that in the next Congress. I think what you'll see is a lot of heavy oversight in every element of implementation, whether it is the exchanges or the Medicaid expansion or other parts of the health law that govern Medicare and other areas of the health system. They're going to make the case, these are the flaws that we see, and perhaps those could be used as leverage in another negotiating deal. And also, let's not forget, we've just gotten through an election, but 2014, we have a midterm election. As well.
So by oversight, you're talking about investigations,
exactly,
possibly subpoenaing
subpoena
documents,
records, yes.
Witnesses, et cetera. Rich?
Now, during the past 2 years, as your audience knows, the Republicans said they wanted to repeal the Affordable Care Act and replace it with something else. They never really told us what that would be. And I think, there's going to be pressure on them, on the Republicans, well, since repeal obviously will not happen. Well, what is it you want to replace it with, number one? And number two, beyond Mary Agnes's point about oversight, clearly there's going to be all sorts of focus on the funding of the Affordable Care Act, and Congress will come into this with and exercise its power of the purse.
And the fiscal cliff conversations, negotiations begin soon. Does the ACA get in the bullseye of some congressional negotiators to look at for revenue, to save spending?
I think
to reduce spending, rather.
Exactly. As part of a larger deal to reduce the federal deficit, one key question is what changes might the president and our Democrats be open to on the Affordable Care Act? Would they, for example, scale back the subsidies as they currently exist in the law? They go up to 400% of poverty. People may say that's too generous. Could they scale back a tax on medical devices, which the medical device industry is screaming about as a job killer? Might the Democrats be willing to get rid of an advisory board in the health law that makes recommendations unless Congress passes something that's different? Those recommendations could go into effect. Democrats and Republicans dislike this. I think there's all sorts of potential maneuvering, but if they do that, Republicans have to move on revenue. They have to go for higher taxes, which they have not wanted so far.
And for the Republican desire to reach a grand bargain, mm-hmm, as part of the fiscal cliff negotiations, the Republicans have wanted much more than of the Democrats to focus on all sorts of health care spending. Democrats, President Obama has sought to avoid to this point bringing the fiscal, bringing health care issues into the fiscal debate. It seems now that that will happen, that there will be more discussion of health care issues, and that the president, in order for all sides to have an opportunity to reach a grand bargain.
Let's go back to the election results themselves. Did either of you spot changes in committees or chairmanships that could substantially alter the dynamics of that committee or how it operates?
This was, many people have referred to this as a status quo election. I think that that's a little bit of a glib overstatement, but although there is something to be said, obviously Democrats keep control of the Senate, strengthen themselves, Republicans in the House. But inevitably, in an election, members come and go. There's going to be lots of freshmen, I think 70 or 80 freshmen in the House, maybe 10 or 12 in the Senate. And one committee that I think is worth paying attention to is the Senate Finance Committee. They play an important role on all tax and health care issues. And it's a committee that has prided itself over the years on its bipartisanship. And it's a committee that's where no members were defeated, but two Republicans and two Democrats retired. And so they include Olympia Snow, clearly a centrist Republican, and Ken Conrad of North Dakota, centrist Democrat. replacing them will be hard to do, and probably it won't happen. So there will be further pull. This will be an example, I think, of kind of the polarization moving into it, even to the Finance Committee.
And then on the House side, Congressman Pete Stark, a fixture of Congress, a liberal. He lost.
He lost to another Democrat. A new California election law allows the two top vote getters in the primary to go to the general election. He was defeated by a 31-year-old Democrat, Eric Swalwell, who promised change and a new voice on Capitol Hill. Eric Swalwell had worked on Capitol Hill for Alan Tauscher and decided he went back home, went to law school, worked at home for a while in the district attorney's office, and decided to go forward. He is very much a backer of the ACA. He dislikes changes to the Medicare program, so I think he'll toe the Democratic line.
And Stark chaired the subcommittee on health, part of Ways and Means. So what does that mean? Well, he didn't chair, sorry. He was the ranking.
Ranking member. He's chaired in the past. He was the ranking member right now. And so that position is up for grabs. And not only on the Democratic side, on the Republican side, the chairman on the Ways and Means Health Subcommittee, Wally Herger, did not run for re-election. So you'll see movement there on the Democratic side and the Republican side. And when lawmakers come back to town next week, I think that'll be part of the organizing of committees. There'll be a lot of vying on both sides for that job.
Yeah. Just very briefly, I'll add that a key question is for House Democrats is what does Democratic Leader Pelosi do? Mm-hmm. Will she? There has been some speculation, not completely denied by other House Democrats, that she may choose to step down as Democratic leader. We'll see.
Rich, did you see any trends emerging in the congressional and Senate election races last night that could tell us something about how the reform law was viewed, how health care policy, how the Medicare issue? Did you glean anything?
Well, House Republicans believe that they withstood a fierce Democratic attack on the House Republican budget, what has been called the Paul Ryan budget. Mm-hmm. And Democrats said that Ryan's selection to be Governor Romney's running mate was a game changer, and that Democrats said that would be focusing even more on the problems that the Republican budget has created. Well, now the outcome from a Republican perspective is that they, in effect, dodged that bullet, and in effect, House Republicans are saying, and this will be significant going forward, that they're reinforced they're bolstered in wanting to make significant changes in the Medicare program. So obviously that's something that Democrats can't accept, and this is Medicare, therefore, will be even more front and center, and it's going to be a tough issue to find common ground.
I mean, Paul Ryan, of course, isn't going to be the vice president, but he is going to be a very important part of the Republican Party as it moves forward. And he will be a voice, a person to watch.
No question. He will be, to the extent he remains in Congress and wants to be a player, he's front and center as a negotiator in these fiscal talks.
Okay. Thank you both so much. I know we're going to be talking a lot more about this as we go on. Thank you.
Thank you.